Welcome to Minute Impossible. What's your spirit animal? Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, one spirit animal at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm a cool bird.
Caca!
Caca!
You're not cool at all.
And oh, Jessa.
We talked over Jessa.
Oh, what?
Are you, Jessa's here.
Hey. Jessa, form of?
Jaguar.
Jaguar. Awesome. Well, welcome, my animal friends, to the final day. Minute 65. Minute 65 begins with Ethan and Luther chatting and ends with Simple Billy screaming at McCloy in the limo. So I'm so glad Billy's back. Oh, guys. You guys got McCloy minutes, you got Mask minutes, and you got Simple Billy minutes.
Wow, they got the whole spectrum for their first time. That's awesome.
Billy, the most useless character in the movie.
He drives the car. He flies the helicopter. That's about it.
You'll be happy to know the most useless character in a Mission Impossible movie, at least in this one, is not a female. Like the first one. Because the first one had some badly written women. Now we're good.
Yeah, we're good.
Getting, much there. Better. Moving getting on
there.
Up.
Well, we're moving away.
We're not great, but we're getting there.
No, it's 2000. Let's be honest.
We still got another 15 years to go.
Yeah, because now it's awesome right now.
Yeah.
Right? To be a woman?
It's amazing.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. I love every second of it.
It's the best. Awesome. Hey, Hugh's back.
Yay. Stomp.
You guys get a little Hugh stamp.
Yeah.
I do like Hugh. I like Hugh.
I like Hugh, too.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I like you. You said you like you too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
We could all do with a lot more Hugh in this movie.
Yeah, he's awesome. I really wish he was in the movie more, not dispatched as quickly. Spoilers. He needed to be in the movie.
He needed to be the bad guy more than Ambrose.
I agree.
Yeah. He's more threatening.
Well, see, I think, they may have been trying to go for the dynamic of Notorious, where, Claude Rains had his mom, who was, like, pulling the strings more. And here it seems, had they gone that way and made Hugh kind of, using Ambrose to get what he wanted, I think that would have been more interesting. Yeah. Because, that's what worked about Notorious, is that Claude Rains' character being manipulated by Ingrid Bergman, like Naya is manipulating Ambrose here, was kind of like the pawn in it, and the mom was really manipulating him. So I think that would have made the movie a lot better, especially because the actor was, Hugh was a stronger actor, I think, than Ducre.
Murren, you also get some sweet Ving Rhames, more minutes.
Yes, he is talking to Tom Cruise. He's there.
Yeah, he is.
he is there.
And he's standing, I think.
He's standing up. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job, Ving Rhames.
Does he sit for most of the movie?
Most of the movies he sits.
He's got bad knees.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. No, he's good. He's like the heart of these movies. He's like the moral center kind of.
I think he figured that out too.
Yeah.
The Ving Rhames. He's made quite a good.
He makes a good chunk of change on these.
Nice.
Oh god.
Yeah, good for him. He doesn't have he doesn't have anything else this big going on really.
The Arby's commercials, and then what was the other one he did?
Well, and he was in Pulp Fiction, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that money's dried up.
I think the first time I saw Ving Rhames was in Dave.
Yeah.
He plays the body man.
Now, I have just watched that recently.
Oh, yeah. Really?
And he's really good at it. That movie really holds up well.
Yeah, I remember it being good. It's too bad. Kevin Kline's another one I wish was in better, more good movies.
He doesn't do anything anymore. He just kind of farts around France. With his hot wife.
Yeah. He does a voice for Bob's Burgers.
Yes, he does. And it's so good.
Remotely from whatever studio he's closest to.
Mr. Fish Odor.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, he'll show up in a movie every once in a while. And you're like, oh, Kevin Kline's in this. Oh, great. I'm going to enjoy that.
He's so awesome. I love him in everything. I wish he would be in stuff.
Yeah. He's a great actor. And he didn't do like that many big movies that.
He's one of those people that I think that Marvel needs to grab onto
and
give him some nice paycheck money right there, Get him to play somebody in the Marvel universe.
I think Hugh should be in there too.
Richard Roxburgh?
Yeah, Richard Roxburgh.
Yeah.
I just watched Moulin Rouge a couple of nights ago.
I was about to say.
He's right. So amazing in that.
Yeah, the dude.
So amazing.
He's great. And I actually didn't, watching Mission Impossible 2 the first time, which was 2 days ago, I didn't realize that was the same guy at all.
Yeah.
Because I think I know him mostly from Moulin Rouge. Mm-hmm. Maybe I saw him in a couple other things, but I didn't realize the same guy at all.
Yeah.
He looks different, acts, you know, at a completely different style and level. Yeah.
This little, look, my dear, a little frog.
I love that.
Yeah, he's really cool. He's not been in a ton. I mean, he's a character actor, but I really wish, we keep talking about things we wish. Wish he was in more. I wish half of these people, there are a lot of people in this movie that are actually really great, and they only had very small roles. And then the Ambrose, so I'm like, I really, Don Gray Scott, I'm like, I'm okay with less of him.
he's on that new Batgirl show, I think, though, right?
He is. I saw him. He looks great.
Yeah, he does. I saw that picture. He looks great. He looks about the same, just a little older.
Yeah, well, because his look is not boyish handsomeness. He was always kind of rugged.
Yeah.
I mean, even in this, he's probably, 35 to 40-ish, probably?
Yeah, I think he's in his mid-30s.
Or maybe probably. 32, maybe even, younger 30s. But he looks as haggard, like his face. He just had a very sharp face.
Well, you know, he's married to Claire Forlani, so, you know.
Ugh, that's gotta wear on you.
Ouch.
Well, we know how Jonathan feels about Claire Forlani.
She's useless and... Every movie she's ever been in, she's never made it any better. Mallrats,
The Rock.
My God, The Rock and
Jade Angelou,
and Brad Pitt movie.
Which Brad Pitt
with Sir Anthony Hopkins?
Legend of the Fall.
Meet Joe Black.
Oh, Legend of the Fall. I forget about Meet Joe Black.
She's the.
Oh, you mean that movie that played the Star Wars trailer in front of it? Yeah, that one. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all right. No more. I won't bash Claire Forlani anymore.
At least in this
please.
Episode.
Jesus.
Gosh.
Too violent.
She's so useless. This is the first time that Ambrose has given Hugh positive reinforcement.
Yeah. As opposed to cutting off his fingers?
Yes. And I think that when he says this to Hugh, how... excited do you think
how
Hugh
turned
is?
On do I think he is
I'm trying to be as PC as possible.
This is no PC.
How
Hugh is giddy, man. He's like
think he went over and ground his he went over and started humping the grass over the corner. He's so excited. Hugh has a special relationship with Ambrose in this movie, since you've seen it. Jessa, this is not normal behavior.
Okay.
For a henchman and a hinged person and a bad guy. We think there's a subplot of Hugh being in love with him.
Oh. Well, you know, it actually, Chris, you brought up Notorious, and I actually thought a little bit of North by Northwest with
what's his name? Who was also in Mission Impossible?
Yeah. Oh, it all comes full circle.
It all comes full circle.
Yeah,
Martin
there's
Landau.
Been a lot
Martin
of-
Landau.
Martin Landau.
Because Wu is a big Hitchcock.
He's a big Hitchcock person, yeah. Mm. And there is that aspect of the side character to James Mason that Martin Landau played, sort of his henchman.
He was kind of in love with him too.
Yeah,
Kind of a bromance.
Yeah.
Like an unsung bromance.
Mm-hmm.
It's one-sided, at least in this movie.
And it was similar in the scene where he talks about, Ambrose talks about how he's so horny. Some of us have sexual urges, unlike you, or makes a reference about his sexuality, and a similar line in North by Northwest.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like Ambrose is also physically hurt by Naya's betrayal.
He's doing that constipated acting where he's like, there's something going on in his body, and he's trying to get it out. He's trying to push his skull through his head.
Yeah, well, Hugh's really playing that like, well, I told you she was going to betray you, sort of like, I'm always here for you, sort of boyfriend guy. Like, no, I'm still here for you. That's how he's playing it, and it's really great, you know, because he's like listening to him and intent, and yeah.
And Ambrose kind of agrees. He's like, you were right, Hugh. Good job, Hugh.
Well done, Hugh.
Well done, Hugh.
He's kind of becoming Pouty McPouterson, though, like the more this goes on.
This whole thing, it took, I think we talked about tying in like how Hugh is a little bit more threatening. And I think a lot of that has to do with how Ambrose, like, it seems like he, the thing he cares about most is Naya.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Like, that supersedes his evil plan in every way. Like,
he's face acting the hell out of it.
And he's got tears in his eyes and everything,
and it's all over the movie. I mean, it's not just this betrayal.
Yeah.
Earlier on when he sees her, he's like, his mouth's open, like, oh my God, I miss her so much. I need her. I'm like,
Yeah, it was a weird, like, it's gross, but it's also a weird choice to make that, like, the main thing for your villain, that he's like in love with this woman. Like, it's
like he's a horn dog. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it doesn't, it's yeah, it's very strange.
Where Hugh is just evil.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, just like okay a bad dude. Evil. Yeah. He just wants, he likes hurting people. He likes being a henchman. Got it.
Well, I mean, because like Ambrose, yesterday when he took off the mask, you could see these like weird, these small little tears starting to form in his eyes and come down his face, and I thought that was
is that the culmination of his wet eyes that we saw earlier on when he saw her on the dock?
Yeah, I think so.
Are those tears or is that sweat?
It's probably a little bit of both.
Is it supposed to be tears?
I don't know what it's supposed to be, but it looks like tears.
The mask mimics human facial things. Do you think it would show tears, or do you think the tears are behind?
That's a good question.
Behind the mask.
Well, yeah. Well, when you wear a mask, are they? Does it have eyes too? Because usually when you see them take it off, the eyes are holes.
Yeah.
So, and I guess you probably see in some movie. I don't remember. Do they wear contacts when they have to?
And in Mission Impossible 3, he put on contacts.
Yeah. So that I assume they do that. I haven't seen that in this. So they are the real eyes. I guess I would assume that you could tear up, although it might not run down the face.
Remember, he's a 92.3% facial match. So his eyes must be close to Ethan's eyes.
Yeah, they
which
almost
is insane
look the
because they're not. They're not.
So not.
Yeah, Tom Cruise, Doug Ray Scott, pretty much the same looking person. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say they're almost because they do not have the same eyes. And especially if I was crazed and scared and being hugged by someone and then they looked at me right in the eyes, I'd be like, you have the guy who I hate's eyes. Oh, really? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I feel like you'd notice that the eyes were different pretty quickly, especially if you're in that close proximity.
Yeah.
Because when he pulls the mask off, there's definitely like mask eye wholeness.
Yeah.
That's probably the reason why he doesn't kiss her is because he doesn't want her to feel the mask and feel like the rubbery lips.
Oh, but then Mm-hmm.
Do you think it feels like rubber?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's another good question.
That is a good question.
Can you cry in the mask? Does the mask feel like rubber when you kiss it? Oh, are the lips part of the mask?
Mm. Yeah, they have been in the past, I think.
Yeah.
How does that work?
How do the lips stick to it? Yeah.
Just a lot of spirit gum.
And what if what if your teeth are different?
Yeah.
Well,
we've seen it before. They have had a couple there where they have like fake teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot. The more we see the masks, the more questions we have.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't, the way it looks them taking off, it doesn't seem like it answers, it solves every problem that you want it to.
But, you know, because like in Fallout, you know, he was going to pretend to be an Asian person. So, you know.
God.
Oh, was that something that got cut?
No, it was in the thing. He just ended up not using the mask after all.
Oh.
Remember he was going to be
Remember
the guy he fought?
Lark.
The guy in the bathroom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were going to build a Asian mask and it was going to be like, okay, well, that guy's really thin, and you're not that thin, but okay.
Sure, why not?
Again, this movie, we have to give a little,
suspension of disbelief.
Leeway. Yeah.
Yeah, where it's like, all right, fine.
Yeah, people didn't like that when it was You Only Live Twice, so let's not do it again.
That's
a rough
movie.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about that.
That's like
this.
Face Off. That's very much Face Off, the way that they do it in that movie with Sean Connery.
They take the guy's face off?
No. They do the surgery very much like the face-off surgery.
Oh, they just like make twice. His body look kind of different.
Yeah.
I don't
and
totally
adjust his
it.
Eyes and everything. Yeah. And the same with Logan's Run. They have the same sort of thing in Logan's Run.
Except that lasts like 5 seconds and You Only Live Twice. He's not Asian that
no,
long.
No, he's not Asian that long at all.
It was, what a weird movie.
I know.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
I love that. I love James Bond movie, but that one is probably, it's one of my favorites, but it's also one of the ones that you're like, Because is that the one at the end that has the volcano?
Yeah, the volcano.
And the balloon.
Donald Pleasance.
The Kananga balloon?
No, the Kananga balloon is Live and Let Die.
That's Live and Let Die. Yeah, you're right. All right.
But there is a big base with Donald Pleasance and the cat.
Yes.
Dr. Okay. Evil.
Yes. Got it. All right. We're back on track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically we're ending this episode or this week with Naya still being in peril, being in worse peril, and now they know they're going to go to Biosite. Yep. So the plan, we now know that Ethan has to get into Biosite to get Chimera because now he knows they have the cure, and Ambrose knows he has the cure.
They need the disease.
Right. So we're off and running. It's taken 65 minutes to get to this point.
Yes.
I would say this is tonally the problem with this movie.
I agree.
If this had happened 20 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, the first movie, it took, what, 30 minutes? Almost 30, 40 minutes to get into the plot about what they were.
Oh, what they were doing? Yeah. Well, yeah. But 30 minutes in, they've already killed off the entire IMF.
Yeah, but we didn't know what the actual thrust of the plot was besides the Nautilus. Sure.
And here, but there was action going on. Like, things
here
were
Here it's like about an hour in. And after this, it starts to become like 10, 15 minutes into the movie, we find out what's going on. I think they learned their lesson from this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pacing-wise, I definitely agree with that. I'd say my number one, just since this is our last minute, my number one problem with the movie is like the love triangle dynamic. That just felt like
it rings false.
Yeah.
I don't feel that he's in love with Naya. I feel Ambrose is too in love with Naya.
Yep.
Like, I just don't like the love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a weird dynamic to have in this kind of movie.
I mean, like I said earlier, he was literally going for Notorious. That's what Robert Towne thought was like the idea behind it.
And you haven't earned it. You haven't earned it with previous movies.
No, exactly.
In later movies, like Fallout earned what it did with his ex-wife.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because, I mean, at least in Notorious, you know, the Cary Grant and Ingmar Bergman had a relationship or had a knowledge of each other prior to the movie starting. And here, mm-hmm. Ethan and Naya don't have anything. And if we'd set it up that they did, that might have given it a little bit more weight.
I agree.
Yeah.
If they hadn't just met for the first time, but maybe he was reintroducing himself
to her after years or something.
Yeah.
Or like she was maybe an ex IMF agent that left or didn't make it, whatever. Anything, something that connected them, I think would have worked a lot more than what they did.
Because I think at this world building at this point was still not a thing.
No.
We're still 7.5 years away from Iron Man. And there weren't a lot of world building franchises.
No.
Everything was, I mean, James Bond, God, they killed his wife. He got married in a movie. Next movie. They never completely bring it
ignore
up again.
It. Yeah, exactly. They pretty much.
And then
now
they bring it up now, kind of like because they're just kind of modern day sensibility. You need to acknowledge that you were married and that she died.
So I think the extent of world building at this point was Star Wars, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I've never seen it. Is it good?
Star Wars? Yeah, it's all right.
Should I start with one? I heard there's six.
Is there only six? I thought there were like 10 of them now.
Oh, no, maybe they're 8. Well, no, at this point, no, they're still only 8. I was trying to think, when's this coming out?
But no, there's 10 Star Wars movies.
10.
Yes.
Yeah,
but you don't count outside the trilogy.
8 Skywalker movies, I guess you call them.
Yes. Well, good. I might have to watch those.
Yeah, you should. Do
you guys have those on Swedish VHS?
No, although I do have a VHS of Star Wars, the motion picture.
I have a Laserdisc of a Japanese Laserdisc of the first of Star Wars Empire and Jedi.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Well, let's go. We've talked a lot today and this whole week about relationships and the way these people are acting together. Let's go in and talk about our last tech of the week. This is your last chance to pick. You get to pick both a tech of the week or a tech of the episode. It can be either. Something can take over for one of your picks, or you can say, this is the best thing I saw all week. So here we go. Alrighty, we're here. Let me put on my tech of the ep robe. All right. Take my pants off. All right. I'm ready.
Comfortable.
I'm getting comfortable. All right, guys. Hey, welcome to the Tech of the App Lounge.
Close your legs, dude.
Oh, sorry. There's a lady present. Excuse me.
Yeah, that's why you should do it.
Jessa, who do you think, what do you think is the best tech of the app or the tech of the week?
I'd say tech of the week, even though the masks, we're finding some fault with them as the further we investigate them, they're still pretty cool.
They are cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to agree that we get two mask reveals this week.
Yeah.
They're cool.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
It's a really fun cheap trick to do. It's just like have another actor play the, you know, you get the sort of totally seamless, like get the other actor to play the part so it looks just like them. And then it's like, "Oh, it was this other guy."
Yeah.
It's cool.
Which is a huge step up from the first movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we got Tom Cruise in prosthetics to look like Foghorn Leghorn and kind of talk like a Southern senator. It was stupid.
Because
to show him, they'd have to show pictures of him dressed up as this character being the real person. It was like, oh my God, just be another actor. It's more fun.
I actually forgot that. So in the first movie, it's been a while since I've seen it. They actually have him like pretend to be another guy in actual makeup.
Kind of like in Ghost Protocol when he is the Russian general. Oh, he's just wearing a nose and a mustache, which actually I don't mind. That one's
fine. Yeah.
It's very little, whereas the prosthetics in the first one are pretty ridiculous. Yeah,
they're trying to make him look like Ross Perot, and he
basically
he doesn't really.
Fun.
It's not. It's like old man makeup, and it's just
not very good.
Takes you out of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's good. Is that yours, too?
I mean, I got to agree that's, like, the coolest thing in the, like, you know, I can't, it's sincerely, that is the coolest piece of technology
it
in
is.
This week. I mean, Brendan Gleeson's sweat is still, you know, I'm never going to forget about
it's
that.
It's visceral.
Well, that's more the wet of the ep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm going with the masks. Both are awesome, and the way that they're portrayed, and the way that they're visceral, and the way that they're sweaty and gross, and they kind of choke you as you're wearing them. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're great.
Chris, what about you?
I'm at the masks, man. I mean,
masks.
The masks and whole mask technology and the band-aid on the voice band-aid. I think that's all great.
Yeah.
Yep. And we're not going to see it again for a little while until basically the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. So I'm really happy that we got two in such quick succession.
Yeah.
Because we can kind of look at them a little more. Because the first one came so fast. There was barely even a reveal of it. So this one's fun. You can kind of look at it in slow motion and just enjoy.
Yeah. Take your sweet time.
Take it in.
Let's take your sweet time. Well, we've enjoyed taking our sweet time with you guys this entire week. You guys have been great first-time guests. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fun.
Yes.
Thank you for being good sports. Let's talk more about your podcast, The Point Break Minute. And since you're not do this, that'll be wrapped by time. You can tell us anything else you'd like to promote. This comes out in 4 months, so
So Point Break Minute, you can start from the beginning. It'll all be out by the time you hear this. It's crazy to think
you can
about.
Binge listen.
You can yeah
for I, hours.
I'd say the first couple are rough, but after that we get better, and it's fun. You enjoy Point Break through our eyes. Mm-hmm. Point Break Minute, where you point out the moments and break down the minutes of Point Break 1 minute at a time, as I say. Mm-hmm. On iTunes, anywhere you want to find it, all that jazz. Actually, I don't know if, Jonathan, you want to talk about what we're maybe doing?
Yeah, we can do it.
Yeah.
Chris doesn't know either.
No, it's the secret. Secrets. Jonathan and I are going to do a Fast and Furious thing.
Ooh,
it's not gonna be guys. Minute by minute.
Chris, you're off the hook, dude.
That's fine by me.
Yeah, we just decided we're talking about doing two different things, and it's like, well, we should probably just do it. You know,
we'd been talking because Chris and I were thinking, like, should we do it in Patreon? And Chris was like, okay, we could do it. I mean, Chris is a good sport.
Yeah, I'll
always
do it.
Of course, he'll do it. But I was like, I want to do it 1/4 minute at a time. And then Murren's like, I want to do it 1/4 movie at a time. Or not 1/4 minute. God, that'd be insane. 1/4 movie at a time. And then Murren was doing the same thing. And I was like, and Murren's like, all right, should we just do this together?
Yeah,
I'm like,
should.
Yeah, That's we awesome. Should.
Yeah.
We should do this together. So Fast and Furious Minute. Well, we don't even know what it's going to be called yet. The Fast and Furious Pod.
I've been
too
calling
fast,
it,
2 minutes.
I've been calling it podcasting 1/4 movie at a time, which is a bit of a mouthful. So we could rethink.
And has nothing to do with Fast and Furious.
No, it does. I mean, because he lives life a quarter mile at a time. Oh. That's what it's takeoff on.
Oh.
But it's a little bit of a deep cut. So we'll see.
I still think too fast 2 minutes is a better way to go.
Oh, I can't do 2 minutes. I can't do it 2 minutes. I got to do it in a quarter. Quarter movie's easy. That's,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's nothing.
Yeah, you can't. I wouldn't ask doing a minute.
Yeah, you got eight movies now, almost nine.
By the time this comes up, we'll have something out in the universe, and it'll be...
There'll be something by the time it comes out.
And maybe at the end of this, I'll add in where it really is.
Sure thing. Yeah, when it comes out, we can put a little stinger on there.
We have literally just started talking about this. Yeah. So my Fast and Furious, any of you that enjoy Fast and Furious, we will be talking about it.
So everyone, we're talking to everyone in the world, literally.
And if you don't enjoy it, you don't have to at all.
Nope.
Because this podcast will still be doing Mission Impossible, which is totally different.
Totally different.
And I know they don't mesh up. So
it's okay. They do in Mission Impossible 9.
Hell yeah. And then we'll just join into one giant Voltron podcast. Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome.
Exactly.
Well, cool. Thank you, guys. Jessa, do you have anything you want to promote?
No, I don't think so. I think Murren said it all. Point Break Minute. It's the place to be.
Vaya con Dios.
It is the place to be.
Place to be.
All right. Well, thanks again. Chris, thank you again for another great week.
Yes, thank you.
Find us everywhere on MinuteImpossible.com. It's got everything. It's got all of our merchandise, even the bad T-shirts that we came up with this week. We'll put one out. Hey, I'll make a T-shirt.
Mind the shaft.
Mind the shaft. Lick the Gleason.
I don't mind. I'll make those shirts. I do not care. You can't not stop me. You can't stop me from making those shirts. And thank you again to all of our Patreons. They are fantastic, and I'm sure we have more as of this recording. We have Face Off, which is another John Woo movie. Come listen to that one, and I'm sure there's another one, but we haven't taped it yet at time of recording. So we'll see you next week, and thank you again. I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Murren the Cool Bird.
I've been Jessa.
Caw-caw!
I was waiting for her to say something else.
Oh, the Jaguar.
The Jaguar.
And Chris and I are two lazy bears in a river.
Rawr. Give me the fish.
Give me that fish.
Give me the fish.
This minute will self-destruct.
See you next time on the show.
Cars?
Do you like men in cars?
Do you like riding in cars with boys?
Do you like octane and car parts?
Do you like family?
You know what? I love family, Murren.
Oh, that's great. We're just a big happy family here over at the Cast and the Furious.
It's a new podcast, and it's going to be different. We're different, Murren. We're like street racers. We don't live by the rules. We live one quarter movie
at a time. That's right, Jonathan. This is you've heard of minute-by-minute podcasts. This is different.
I have, Murren.
You've heard of that. We have done them, in fact. This is different. This is one quarter movie at a time, in the spirit that Vin Diesel would want it to be done. Also, speaking of spirits, Corona.
That's the wateriest spirit of them all. We're going to drink some Coronas. We're going to talk about the movies. The Fast and the Furious franchise, one quarter movie at a time. We're going to start in the summer, but because you were on my podcast, we had to, by podcast law, do this promotion at the end of our show.
We're getting the hype going. This is the hype train, and it's leaving the station.
Hype train? This is the hype car.
Thank you for that correction.
We're a muscle car.
Yeah, just like Vin Diesel drives.
We're at the beginning of this, guys. If you guys want to find us, we already have a Facebook group. Go to
the Cast and the Furious Auto Club.
That's right. Look up facebook.com/group/castandthefurious. You'll find us there. We're at the Auto Club. If you come in there right now, today, Murren, guess what happens?
What happens?
You get a street racer name. We give you a street racer name.
Your own personalized nickname.
Yep, it's based on who you are and who we make broad generalizations about you, and we come up with yours. We've got great ones like Wheelman and T-Bone and Torque.
Oh, Torque. I love Torque. What a cool guy or girl.
Torque's a man.
Okay.
And Thunderbolt and Metal Pedal and Tank Top and Unlimited Breadsticks. That name's a joke based on our new podcasting motto.
When you're here, you're family.
Don't sue us, Olive Garden.
It's actually no longer Olive Garden's catchphrase, so we're good.
Doesn't matter. They're still going to be pissed.
But also, if you're listening, Olive Garden, send us some breadsticks.
We'll be coming out this summer. Can't wait to see you. Murren, I can't wait to work with you more.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be getting a couple gearheads and grease monkeys working on the cars.
What's your street racer name?
My street racer name is Nitro.
Nitro.
What's yours?
My street racer name is Bandit.
Oh, yeah.
Shows my age.
So we got Nitro and Bandit coming at you, coming to all podcatchers this summer, The Cast and the Furious. When you're here, you're family.
Ride or die, Murren.
Ride or die, Jonathan.